Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 6 minutes after the hour. Hour number three now underway. 251-343-0106 text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. I've got a bunch to get to. We'll try to get to them in the next couple of segments. But as always, like I said, keep them coming. We do appreciate the feedback. Still to come on the program about 30 minutes from now, State Representative Charlotte Meadows, Montgomery, in a tough reelection battle there. New district that leans more Democrat than what she had won on previously. So we'll talk to her about how her race is going and other matters of state importance. So please stay tuned for that. Speaking of matters of state importance, I'm very excited to have this next gentleman on. Made some headlines here lately wanting to eliminate what we call occupational taxes, at least in some form, in Alabama, streamline them, but phase them out over time, I think, is the way our reporter Caleb Taylor described it at 1819 News, 1819news.com. Y'all check that out. But joining us now, he represents the northeastern-ish part of the state, Gadsden, Cherokee County, that up that way. State Senator Andrew Jones on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. Glad to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. So engage in a difference of opinion probably here with the illegal municipalities, but it is what it is. But talk to us a little bit about your proposal here, which I think is something when we talk about tax relief, it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, you know, this came to my forefront because Etowah County, which I represent, has five municipalities with occupational tax. There are only 25 in the state that we've identified. Those five are five out of the six highest rates in the state of Alabama. They're at 2%. So it's a 2% tax on being employed. You know, we're trying to get people back to work, encourage people to get off the government dime and go to work, get a credential, you know, get education, go work. And why would you penalize someone and tax them for the privilege of working, which is, it's called an occupational privilege tax. So, you know, why would you do that? And so that's how this ball got started rolling. And then I identified, you know, some things that we needed to rein in. And then folks from all over the state started coming to me with other problems that they were having dealing with occupational tax, numerous issues. And so now the bill's become more than just about the rates, but it also about ways that we can rein in some of this overreach in other parts of the state on the occupational tax.
Well, one of the fascinating aspects of this, I think, is that not a lot of people, I mean, not a lot, but more people than once had are no longer going to an office, right? So, for example, 1819 News' headquarters is in Birmingham. But I don't ever go to Birmingham, yet I would still be liable for an occupational tax that they're levying on a Birmingham employer. So this idea that we're kind of more, you know, working, you know, telecommuting or whatever you want to call it, but yet that occupational tax still applies to you.
Yeah, it's absurd. And, you know, I had a constituent that reached out that said that they were paying occupational tax in Birmingham, but they were getting a rebate for working from home, for the time spent working from home. And then the pandemic hit, and then everybody's working from home, and then it's obviously a huge hit to the city budget. And so they just stopped giving rebates for work from home. So that is a huge issue. And on top of that, you have the issue of satellite offices, where, you know, maybe Jeff, your headquarters in Birmingham, but you have a satellite office, you know, in Mobile or somewhere down there. The league does not even agree with me that satellite office, the folks working there should be exempt, which to me is totally absurd, because you're basically saying, okay, if your corporate headquarters is here, then every single employee, even though they're outside of the city limits, not using city resources or services, you're saying they should be taxed. And you're saying the people who work from home outside the city should be taxed. It just, to me, it's a bridge too far.
One of the things you sent me is just fascinating. So, for example, Andrew, we're watching this hurricane situation unfold down in Florida, Hurricane Ian, but let's say it were to happen, God forbid, in a city in Alabama with an occupational tax. And here comes the cavalry. Here comes an emergency situation. Line workers, all of these people in this emergency situation where we're trying to get things back to normal as soon as possible. Even in an emergency circumstance, there's an opposition to suspending that not applying that occupational tax to that municipality.
Yeah, it's absurd. You got folks coming in to help, and this actually happened in Lee County following the tornadoes down there. You had linemen come in from all around the nation, I believe, other parts of the state for sure, in Southeast, came in to repair the electrical grid. Afterwards, they're getting a bill for occupational tax there, either from Opelika or Auburn. I forget which one, may have been both. So these folks are coming in to help, and you're going to, take and throw that goodwill back in their face and say, hey, you owe us some occupational tax. It's that to me is a bridge too far. And coupled with that, you've got the whole provision of temporary workers, right? Nobody's really thought about that. So they're basically saying, if you're working a day in the city, some employer, even though they might be hundreds of miles away, has got to figure out that you work there, that you owe occupational tax, take that out, remit that to the city. That's just onerous. So to me, there needs to be an exemption, A, for a state of emergency declared by the president or declared by the governor, but that's just suspended for anybody coming to our aid, right? That doesn't even apply. But then there also needs to be a provision, just for common sense purposes, that if you're working for 30 days or less, 60, 90 days, maybe we say 90 days, if you're working 90 days or less in the city, you don't even have to bother collecting it or remitting it. And again, the league wouldn't even play ball, they don't even want to consider any kind of provision like that, which to me, that's just, it's common sense. It sounds like other things we've done in the state with, business licenses, they're being charged for driving a delivery truck through a city. It sounds like the same kind of thing.
I mean, it's a cash grab. There's no question about it. The problem for me is this. Maybe not in these cities, but in this state, you think it's Republican. I mean, the national viewpoint is we're some kind of right-wing extremist state, but the things like this exist really dispel that notion. And I hope that you're successful with what you're trying to pull off here, because this tax structure just sounds completely unfair, because it's not really a system that where you're using their services and their infrastructure in these municipalities necessarily. You're having to foot the bill.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the legislature is reined in these things somewhat. We passed legislation in 2019 that said that any new occupational tax has to come before the legislature and local legislative act. Senator Elliott passed legislation on police jurisdictions, yet we still suspect that in both of these bills that the legislature addressed, there's still problems that are being, kind of loopholes maybe being exploited through occupational tax, namely it being applied in the police jurisdiction, which is not supposed to be happening, because those folks are not even working, in the city. And then also in terms of the occupational tax being up, the rates potentially being raised, right? So the legislature said any imposition of occupational tax has to come back before us. Well, it's kind of vague as to whether that includes raising a rate based on, your interpretation. I believe it's pretty clear that you can't do that, but I think we may see cities, when they get cash strapped and get in perilous economic times like we seem to be in, just going on a cash grab and raising rates in violation of what I believe the legislature's intent was.
What happens? I mean, a lot of times you guys take it on the chin because you pass a lot of bills and laws and they get signed by the governor, but there's not necessarily an enforcement mechanism, right? What is the enforcement mechanism in a case like this? I mean, what sort of power do you have over these municipalities if they choose to just thumb their nose at the Alabama legislature?
Well, I guess the AG could get involved, or somebody could take, a taxpayer or a citizen could take them to court over it. But again, you know, that's not really an ideal enforcement mechanism because, somebody's going to have to spend their personal money to make that happen and get that enforced. It's just one of those things where we have to be clear, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it, and make sure that these folks realize that we're serious about reining these things in. And I think that's the whole point of this legislation. Find all these loopholes and all these cash grabs that are going on, address them and rein them in.
Joined by State Senator Andrew Jones here on the program. Tell me this, Senator, you just got a new mayor there, up in Gadsden, Craig Ford, one of your, former, nemesis, yes. Has the rendering plant, that controversy, been put to rest? Is any of that, are you concerned about any of that coming back, kind of now that you have new leadership in Gadsden?
I don't think so. I think that issue is pretty much dead. We've had a major shift in 2018, since 2018 when I came in the county, and I kind of, I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm saying I was kind of on the beginning cusp of it, I guess would be the way to say it. But, we've had a total change in the political landscape there. You're going to have seven council members in the city of Gadsden. Five of them and the mayor are going to be new. You had a similar situation in Rainbow City where all but one was, kind of newly elected. There was one, like, holdover and new mayor and brand new council. Same situation in Glencoe, total new council except for one holdover, and a new mayor came in as well. And I could go on. That's happened all around the county. And I think people are kind of realizing we need new leadership. We need to move on from the politics of the past. Some of the things that have held us back, like the legacy there, it was kind of seen as a union type town, and that kind of held us back, I think, in a regard to recruiting new industry. Certainly this occupational tax, I believe, is holding us back when it comes to recruiting industry, and the mindset is shifting there. I've got some mayors that are going to be willing to work with me, I believe, on addressing some of that locally if possible. Of course, I still plan to run a statewide bill to address the other stuff, but I just see the political landscape there shifting and moving in a more positive direction, just as we're bringing in new people with new ideas, and change is beginning to happen. I fully believe that. We got a lot of good potential. We got a mega site there. It's 1,100 acres on rail and on Interstate 59. We're heavily recruiting, trying to get a business to locate there, a major employer. So things are starting to look up.
Last question, not really anything pertaining to this listening audience, but 759, that in pretty good order right now?
Yes. So we believe that construction should begin by the spring of next year, and then it'll be a two-year process. So we're hoping by sometime summer 2026, I believe, spring, summer 2026, for a completion date for that. That's going to be a game changer too, Jeff, because it's going to allow, our industry to do their just-in-time inventory and make things happen. It's going to relieve congestion. It's kind of going to open up a new corridor there because, truck traffic coming through on 431 or 278 can stay on those, go down 759. And connect back in with those highways, avoid congestion downtown. So it's going to be a big thing. It's going to run right by Gadsden State there. And so it's going to be a way to showcase off the new workforce development center that's coming to Gadsden State. So it's going to help enhance everything we got going on.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but you're very kind to make time for us. So let's talk again soon.
Let's do it. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you.
Thank you. State Senator Andrew Jones there on the program. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Ooh, Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.